Surprise, surprise, we are back. This is Bits and Pieces, our podcast about friendships, unicorns, and why work is not a job. You thought we are dead, we are not. We are your beloved hosts. I'm Luki.
And I'm Toby.
Today is going to be a very special episode, as we have actually done some preparation.
Yeah, I would say as much as preparation as usually. And I have this beautiful G-Suite document in front of me, which tells me a few points what we are going to talk about. It's mostly about our company, which just turned 5 years.
Yes, BoonCon has just turned 5 years old. Long live BoonCon! Woo!
Yay!
And yeah, today we're going to talk a little bit about how we got to where we are at the moment and our awesome party that we just had last Friday, which is why we both have a lower voice than usual.
Exactly. And this party is probably also responsible that I forgot about half what we should talk about, because it was kind of a project format C.
It was indeed. But let's cut to the case and go. Oh no.
Sorry.
Oh no. There might be some residue alcohol left.
It's fine. It's fine. It's supposed to be.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, we are in our office in Helsinki and it still smells like booze. That's all I can tell.
Well, I'm drinking vodka, water out of a vodka Danska bottle. And no, we are not getting paid for mentioning that, but it's such a stylish aluminium bottle that I couldn't resist, basically.
I understand. Now we managed to talk another 2 minutes without talking about our company at all or what we did. But I will start with one topic because I can see it on our lovely list. And it's a game that we got as a birthday present. It's a beautiful game. I just read from the box before, but it's from a Danish designer. And the game is called Klusk. Probably they pronounce it Klusk. Who could know? I don't. But it's a wooden board. And there is two small holes on each side of the boards. And you play it one versus one. And you have a magnet that you hold at the bottom side of that wooden board. It's a little elevated with stands. And on top, there is a pin that's connected through a magnet. And basically, you play something like football, but with a small pin that you move around the board on the top by moving at the bottom. And it has been a huge success. We haven't lost a single ball at the game. And we have spent even last night several hours playing that game furiously, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. You beat me every time, which was quite depressing, but it was still a great game. It's, yeah, kind of football. Then there are these random magnets lying in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. And if those magnets stuck to your pin, then you basically also give a point to the opponent if two of them stuck there.
To explain the whole game, there is four different ways of scoring points. I'm a stickler for the rules, so I know them all, so I can remind everyone about them. But basically, yes, if you get two of those neutral magnets sticking to your pin, the opponent gets a point. If the opponent scores the ball into your hole, he gets a point. If you manage to lose control over your stick, the opponent gets a point. Or if you bump your stick into your own small goal hole, then the opponent gets a point.
I hear it's a lot about sticks that you lose control over and balls that have to go somewhere.
It sounds a lot more perverted than what it actually is. I think it's a children-friendly game. You can totally check it out. We got it as a present, so we have no idea where to get it from. But I'm sure if you Google for Klusk, which we will do later, then you can find the website where you can order it from. And this will, as all the other links we talk about, to be found on our website, on the show notes or in the podcatcher of your choosing in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and just to mention, it's a game that's really, really quick, easy to learn. Rule book, just two pages.
Yes.
And as simple as it goes and really much fun. So big recommend, I would say.
It is. And we did play another game that was a lot of fun and a big success at our party. Toby,
Please? I actually had a golden bridge prepared for this. Since you mentioned rules before, there is another game which involves rules. And it's, of course, a drinking game. We said it's probably the dumbest card game ever, which is really good for a drinking game. It consists of several rounds. Mm-hmm. I got to know it back in 2008 in my Erasmus stay, and we played it all the time.
Of course you did.
Of course. And it goes like that. So there is the dealer, who is all-powerful, of course.
Like dealers usually tend to be.
Yes, yes. And then there is a round of people around the table. And the first round goes like, is the card I'm going to deal you red or black? And
Let's make a real case example. I'm going to say red. Toby shuffles his imaginary deck.
And it's going to be a black queen, of course. And this means...
I got it right?
You got it wrong. No. That's why you have to take a sip yourselves.
I'm not good at this game.
See, but if I would have shuffled a red card on top, you could have given a sip to a random person.
Toby.
Like me, for example.
It's only the two of us playing.
So at the moment, it's simple. It even works with two people. You can even play alone if you have some personality issues. But
okay, but it gets more complicated.
It gets a lot more challenging. In the next round, it's already everybody has one card, and you had the black queen. So I'm going to ask you, is the next card, the card I'm going to show you, higher or lower in value than the one you have in front of you?
Very likely to be lower.
Yes. In this case, I would show you a red queen as next card.
Of course you would.
Of course I would, which means you are you lose, or technically you win because everybody wants to be drunk, so you would have to take two sips right now.
Yeah, I suck at this game.
I mean, the probabilities were on your side, but you know how it is with probabilities.
Imaginary cards, Delian.
Yeah.
I know.
I should have brought a real deck to make this a bit fairer, maybe. But yeah, since you got it wrong that it wasn't lower, you have to take two sips. But if you got it right, you could have given two sips to someone else, or also split them up to several people.
Yes.
Then in the third round, you have already two cards. You can decide if the next card, which is dealt to you, is in value between those two cards or outside. So it's very unlikely that it's between the two queens,
so
obviously.
I'm going to say outside, and let me guess, it's another queen.
No. Now it's going to be a red 10.
A red 10. Okay, yeah. So I got it right, and I get to give out three sips, which I'm going to give to Toby, because A, he's an awful dealer. B, there's another one I'm playing with. But I'm going to take a solidarity sip, because that's what people do.
Yeah, that's a very important feature of the game. The one who has to drink, or anybody else, basically, can always call out for solidarity, and everybody can just join in drinking. Mm-hmm. And then you basically already have three cards. And then two rows of cards are dealt out on the table.
And now it gets very complicated. But yeah, it's good there is the game master reminding everyone on what to do.
that's very important. And so just imagine two rows of cards which are not...
face down.
Face down.
Yeah.
They are face down. And then the game master looks up one card after the other. But one card is looked up. It's maybe a queen, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's in the row, in the giving row. So Lucky is very lucky. He has two queens. So in this round, it's a fourth round. So it's about four drinks. It's very easy.
So two queens times four sips that I give out is eight sips that I'm going to give to Toby.
So this is going to explain the... retardedness I'll show you throughout the rest of the podcast.
Just to be clear, we haven't had any actual shots at this point.
Not yet, but yeah. And then in the next row is the taking taking four. So
a queen in there would have made me take 8 zips,
which is really tough.
Which is really
and
tough.
Then it just continues. And then there are always random people who ask, and how I'm gonna win this game, and stupid questions like that, but they just don't get it.
No.
It's when the cards are over, the game is over, and people are usually happy.
They've lost the game. And then you basically shuffle and start all over again.
Do
that till people fall from the table. That's all the fun. What we will do is to sum up those rules. Toby will. I'm just making him responsible for it. And write them to our show notes as well. So you can play this with all your friends at home.
Yeah. We should even provide picture material, which we probably don't do.
Before and after. Yes. We could slip in a photo from our party. I remember there's some nice photos of the table at its best.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you get a peek to our party and some rules to an awesome game.
Okay. Did we have other cool things at the party?
We totally got surprised. At least I totally got surprised.
Me too. I even behaved awkwardly.
You tend to do that, but maybe this time or whatever. No, we got surprised by a choir that we have worked with, or we did a website for them, and they wanted to do something nice for us. So in the middle of the evening, without neither Toby nor me knowing, they just walked into our office, I think it was around 15 people maybe, singing happy birthday in Finnish. Maybe that's the surprise part, as we both didn't understand it. No, it wasn't that. But then they sung a few more songs, and it was just a very nice moment, because I guess they were like the ratio from people watching to the people singing was quite good. So you could really feel all the energy, and they sang some amazing songs, I have to say.
Yeah, it was a lot of variation in their songs. So there was some beatboxy stuff, and then also some really strong solos with really strong voice.
Yeah,
I was really amazed. And when you, as you said, when you stay next to them, you really feel your own lungs basically vibrating from their strong voices. Yeah. So really, really cool.
You could totally feel the music. It was just amazing. Yeah, I have no other words for it. And we are going to link that choir to our show notes as well. They are really cool. Greg's Musicus. Check them out. They are a cool bunch of people. And I think they also do events if you pay them for it. So you might look into that. They're worth it. Totally.
We also had a presentation at this party, which we always usually try to avoid. It was a quite serious presentation about a review of the 5 years, why we are doing what we are doing, what we are actually doing, and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we put some cat gifts there and stuff.
Some offsprings that we will come back to later.
Yeah.
There were some awful gifts in there. And in general, I think it did show a little bit of what we're up to, but more it showed how we are as people.
Yeah.
People seem to smile while we were doing that presentation. Yes.
Yeah.
But should we maybe also on here talk a little bit about what we are doing?
I mean,
we never did, right? This podcast is about work and why work is not a job, but we have not really.
Yeah,
talked
we stuck
about
to
it.
The unicorns part of
we
the
stuck
podcast.
To the unicorn part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we could do this since it's a special episode. We could actually work around our standard topic.
Yes.
Which is, yeah, what is actually BoomCon, the company we founded 5 years ago? It's about working with friends. It's basically a philosophy we want to bring into the world, and we bring to sub-companies we eventually create. The whole thing is actually that we just create some ideas. And if they are successful, if they are big enough, we create an offspring, which is a subsidiary company. Till now, we have two such offsprings. One is BoomCon Pixels, an experience design studio based here in Helsinki. And the other one is Tiny Tim Box, educational children's book app.
I'm surprised. I don't think we ever did it this well. We have worked on this for ages. I think we screwed it up in the presentation. This seems to be the first time. We managed to almost get through it without getting stuck. But oh, yes, Tiny Tin Box. But we work on educational apps and interactive children's stories, yeah. I would say.
Yeah. But I think we should also tell a bit more about Pixels. I believe I have read somewhere that you're the CEO of that particular offspring. So, Luki.
Okay. Let me talk about it. It's a company that we started, or an offspring that we somehow started pretty soon after starting BoonCon, because as mentioned before, BoonCon was our idea of how to do work, but we didn't really know what work to actually do. So, starting a company, needing to earn actual money, of course, we had to figure it out eventually as well. So BoonCon Pixels somehow was what we could do best at the time. My background is in design and coding, so we started a company that does design and coding. We have then developed over the years, I would say we have done a lot of WordPress development, representational websites for clients of different sizes and different sectors. And what we have always done at the site as well was a lot of graphic design or also branding, but never in a maybe too structured or too defined way. And that's something that we are just now a little bit redeveloping. And that's why we also want to be that experience design studio, because what we have learned over the years is that it's all about experiences. The websites that you need as a company are really about how do you want to interact with your clients? How do you want them to see you? And it's about making things work and finding a smart way of representing what you're doing. Because, of course, you can spend very little money. You can get some ready-made template and you can put things there. And that's not what you would pay us for. But it's a lot more about finding a structure that makes sense for what you're doing and really putting thought into how everything is connected.
Yes. I would say step by step over the years, we also got much more into workshops because we recognized actually quite quickly at the beginning that you have to develop closely to the client so that you don't just get a brief at the beginning and then do your thing and the client reviews it a bit and that's basically the project. We found out the project got more and more successful the more we integrated the client in the whole process. And I think that that's been working really well. And now we have even more concepts in this workshop.
On the workshop idea. Yeah. Exactly. Like you said, the problem that we saw is if projects tend to go for too long, people change their minds too many time, and that's not how nowadays websites or almost any projects can work anymore, because everything needs to grow constantly. It needs to change with the company and with everything that's happening. So it's better to do things in a really short time frame, but get something out that's there to then evaluate than just pretty much having those endless projects with a million reviews and you always start from zero because things change. So what we try to do now is really have quicker time frames through workshops, for example. We also have some other ideas, but that's something that we have really liked doing. We saw it from startups. There is that concept of hackathons. That's something that we have really liked. So it's basically sometimes a night and a day that startups or people from startups would take part in and really try to get some minimum viable product for people to take a look at and then maybe get investments and so on. And that's something that we have tried to bring back to conventional companies in some way. So getting a lot out in a small time frame. Yes.
Yeah. Another thing we, I think, recognized was the fact that usually at the client side, there is a large number or there can be a large number of stakeholders in a project. So when you normally just talk to one person, usually the marketing department, about the website project or the branding project, they take some decisions. But then these things you create, they go around in the company. Maybe they hit the CEO, the CTO, or whoever. And then they all tend to give their feedbacks. And at the end, a completely different product than your brief is the outcome. So what we thought to solve with this workshop process, that everybody who is somehow involved in this project, who somehow can co-decide or whatever, also gets a voice right from the beginning, to avoid this building things three times afterwards, basically.
Yes, bringing all the stakeholders around the same table from the start, defining deliverables and getting them done. Mm-hmm. There was or one thing that we have done in Pixels. Now we talked about what we are doing, but maybe let's talk a little bit about the team, because in the end, that is still what or why we have started BoonCon. And now we are a team of 12, and we are from many different nationalities with very different backgrounds. And that's Toby's trying to count now. We we might include those numbers to the show notes, but it's many different nationalities. And if I remember right, we are talking 16 different languages together. So it's, although not like, it's a okay sized team, especially for companies within Finland in this field, but still there is not a single other one, I would say, that is as diverse as ours.
Yeah, because one thing is the many nationalities. The other thing is also the educational backgrounds, mm-hmm. where we are also quite diverse. We don't necessarily require people to be professionals from the start in what they are doing in the end in our company. So it can happen that an architect is a designer and so on. And this will also happen. And this also brings a lot of different perspectives, which is, and experiences, also previous work experiences into projects, which enrich the whole thing, I would say. Let's maybe jump to our other offspring, which is Tiny Timbox. So we already mentioned that it is doing educational interactive apps out of children's books, basically.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm putting it different ways every time I say it, but also there we are at the milestone at the moment. Basically, the apps we are creating are soon finished. Basically, we have soon a working prototype, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I can hook in now. At least I would more talk about one app now that we really want to be launching soon. That's in the final phases of testing. We already have done some user testing, and we are really in the last process of refinements, and that one should be launching soon, whereas the other one, I guess we will still work and refine a little bit more until we are entirely happy. But the one that we will be launching soon is a app about children's poems. So it's poems for children's, and they are then paired with some really nice illustrations. So it's something where kids by themselves can look at them, and the narrator can read them out. And as the scenes are drawn in a very nice way, they basically can look for small details, and it's those very full illustrations. And if not, they can also get their parents to read them out for them. And what we have done is to make them in different languages, so you can also maybe even start learning languages through this app on a very basic level. And we have really spent a lot of time on those apps now, or on this app, and we are really, really curious to see them going to the App Store and find out how other people really like them, because this has been a topic that has been to our interest, at least to my interest. Maybe I speak to myself, but I have been interested in children's education since many, many years by now, because in some way, with all the new devices that are out there, I just see that there can be such a big step that can be made from how education, or like this initial getting interest awoken in people, like there is a shift happening, and we wanted to be part of that since the beginning. And unfortunately, we never had too much time to push this out quicker, but anyway, we will now.
Yeah, I was also really I am really passionate about this, especially because of one reason. I really liked reading as a child, and I still do so. And I think that the current technological development very often inhibits children maybe from reading, because they are more playing games, which is of course also really educational and good, depending on the game. And but still reading enhances your fantasy so much. So I really like this concept of having a more approachable animated book where at the beginning the book can also be told by a narrator. So if the children can't read by themselves yet, and if maybe parents also don't have time to read to their children, kids can get to love reading and start basically by themselves, independently of their parents.
Yeah, and that hopefully gets their imagination started, and it just sets them up for a later point, and that they do want to create those nice stories in their heads and everything that I also loved doing growing up. Exactly.
Yeah.
But we will hopefully launch this soon. You should hear about it on this podcast some other day. And maybe there is even already a link showing up in the show notes sooner or later.
Do we have an approximate launch date? Just something we can say, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Today it's the 3rd of October. So we are recording this on the 3rd of October. I would hope that within this October we still launch this. If you're curious to see what's coming, you can already check out our website for this project. It's tinytinbox.com. So at least you can read there and follow up on when the app actually launches. But let's hope, fingers crossed, knocking on wood, that within the next few weeks we do get this on the App Store.
Yeah, and when we launch it, it will be most likely in 3 languages from the start. So it will be in English, German and Finnish.
Exactly. Yes. So stay tuned. Is there anything more? There is something more. There is always something more. One more thing, Toby.
Yeah. We have a mysterious project going on at the moment. It doesn't really have a final name yet, so I'm not going to say anything about that. Otherwise, you might Google and not find anything. It's about connecting startups and established organizations. And the reason for that is that we, in our last 5 years, we have worked a lot with both of those types of clients. So we had startups as clients who we did small projects for, who we did also small workshops with and consulted them. And we had bigger projects with established organizations. We also had consulting projects with established organizations where we brought in our knowledge, technical knowledge, as well as our business knowledge also. And we saw step by step that it was really beneficial to the established organization to get some startup methods, to work in a leaner way, to get more dynamic. And we also saw when we worked with startups that they are quite fast and agile in working, but they sometimes really lack expertise and really some professionalism. Then we thought further. We had some startups from their real product or real process innovation area. And what we have seen with those startups is that they quite often fail, or they quite often don't get funding. And the reason for that is that they don't find an investor because the return on investment time is much longer in those types of startups than with tech startups. And the investment needed is usually also higher. And so we thought, what could help those startups? And there, our solution was, a cooperation with established organization could be really, really good. So with a big company in the field, or medium-sized company, with a company who has already a name, a market, has a production, has a R&D department, which is used to pushing out final working products and all those things. Of course, a lot of startups already try to build up those partnerships by themselves, but they often are also not able to do so because they don't get by the front desk.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe what we would like to do at this point on this podcast is to ask you out there, if you're taking part in a startup or know about a very cool startup that might have to do with some basic technologies or something that you think bigger companies could really, really gain from, get in contact with us. And on the other hand, if you might be part in a big company, or if you might know someone leading a big company or just taking over a big company and facing some challenges, maybe also get in contact with us and we might be able to connect you to some very cool startups. And I would say we get to the randomness part of our podcast. We have a couple of points and I will just keep talking as I do already. We talked a bit about our story / history before and about the things that we have done. And I also got interviewed about what brought me to Finland and why I'm still here. Just a couple of months ago by the biggest Finnish newspaper, the Helsingin Sanomat. And it turned out to be a very nice interview. You can find it online and we will link it in the show notes. It's a nice interview and maybe gives you some insight on how Finland works as a country. It's in Finnish, but we also have a English translation of it in our own blog. So you might want to check that one out in case you're not fluent in Finnish.
So we'll also link that obviously in the show notes. Yeah, this brings us almost to the end of this podcast. And here I would like to note something about podcasting itself, which is the new app I'm using at the moment for as a podcatcher, which is the Castro 2.0 version. I used the old version also previously, but then switched to Overcast. But now, since Luki recommended it to me, again, I tried this Castro 2.0. And I have to say, I really enjoyed this podcatcher so far, because it has a really, really nice queuing system. So as the podcasts come, you can decide if you want to have the new podcast at the top of the queue, at the end of the queue, or if you just want to archive the newly downloaded episode, which gives a really, really quick way
of... Yeah, basically what's nice is that they rethought the whole process a little bit, so it's less steps and you just always have a ready-to-play list of podcasts. And that's the main part of the app. So one playlist and things come in automatically or manually. And I also like it a lot. Yes, I recommended it to you. There might be some more advanced tweaks that I would like to see someday, but it's fairly new. So let's see how it develops. But all in all, a very solid release and I love it as well.
To me, I don't know if to somebody else that happens who might use this podcatcher, it had some issues with the queue sometimes. So
okay.
That it skipped episodes, or I put them somewhere and they were just skipped or put to some other part, or it failed to download. So there is still some issues, or maybe it's just my phone, I don't know. But yeah, I hope they get those also working.
That has not happened for me, or to me at least. I didn't notice, but good to know. And maybe if the Castro people out there listen to this podcast, because everyone does, please fix what you have to fix. Yeah, this really brings us to the end of the podcast. I'm not even gonna say when we do our next episode, but we do really want to keep up some more regular rhythm now. The last episode has been way too long ago.
Yeah, that one has been, I think, 7 months and a few days ago. Yeah. So if we have a regular rhythm, you can calculate how far the next one is ahead. But we won't promise anything, so maybe that's going better.
Yeah, but we do want to talk a little bit more into those microphones. It's a lot of fun to us. And if you like what you hear, please check out our podcast at booncon.com/podcast. Also follow us on Twitter at BoonCon. You will always be notified about new episodes there first, and possibly also subscribe to the podcast in the podcatcher of your choice or the iTunes podcast directory. You can find us in all of those places. But it has been lovely talking to you. Hopefully we will do it soon again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.